Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. Getting some texts, and if you want your question answered first, want to jump the queue, you can give us a call to 519-792-2559 because we are joined, as we always are around this time on Thursdays, by Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt. Good morning, Howard. Thank you again for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me again. Appreciate it.
Always love. Got a lot of questions for you, too. We're going to dive right in with a phone call. Richard, I believe, is on the line right now. And Richard, you are on. What is your question this morning, Richard?
Yes, good day. Thanks very much for taking my question. I'm an experienced engineer who works for a large company. I've applied to an internal position within my organization that would be a lateral move professionally, but would allow for more professional growth. The issue I have is that my current manager has not allowed me to interview for this position. The reason given is the difficulty of finding a replacement for my current job. Do I have any legal recourse for my manager stopping my professional growth?
No, none whatsoever. You have no legal right to transfer within your company. That's entirely up to the company. If a particular manager is standing in your way and the manager has that authority, then so be it. Unless you're doing it based on your race, creed, color, or something like that, so there's a human rights angle to it, a company's free to make right or the wrong decisions at any time.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Richard. Yeah, sorry about that. So that is a thing. I always wonder about that too, Howard. When can a manager say no, we need you in this department, you can't go forward, even if that was your career goal entering the company.
You don't have a right to a career goal. Now, look, let's assume there was a deal made when you joined the company. You were going to be eligible for position X, and then they suddenly block you from position X, and you've done everything that's required of you to get to position X as per your original agreement with the company. Then you may call it a constructive dismissal, not being allowed to have the position which you had agreed you would have. Possibly. I'm not saying it's a strong argument. It's a possible argument.
Right.
But short of something like that, no, there's no right to a particular position or promotion, whether it's a career goal or not. Your goal is irrelevant to the company. The company has its own goals. In this case, the manager's goal is to keep that person there.
Right. Yeah, no, great to know. I've always wondered about that myself. 519-792-2559 if you have a question for Howard. We got this one texted in just moments ago, actually. This person writes, it's a two-parter, actually. This person is working in retail, and I might know the answer to this first part. They work in retail, and they have been laid off, which they agreed to. They've accepted it. And they take issue, though, with the fact that there have been people called back who have been there for only a few months. This person's been there 2.5 years. The first part, is the employer in the wrong doing that, calling people back with less seniority?
Well, there's no such thing as seniority in a non-union regime, so let's just start with that. It doesn't matter what order they call them back in. But if the person is on layoff, which is inherently a constructive dismissal, but they've accepted it, but now other people are being recalled and they're not, then the right to claim constructive dismissal revives. So we can claim constructive dismissal now.
Okay, that is good to know for that person.
Not
I hope that helps.
They have juniors because there's other people being called back and they're not. That gives them the right to sue for a constructive dismissal or say, I want to come back too. I'm going to be claiming constructive dismissal.
That's good because this might give them legs for the next part of their question. They say they received a layoff email. It says I can request their words. It says I can request any vacation pay accrued. I called work and was told no vacation pay when laid off. Is that normal?
Well, if you're entitled to vacation pay, then you're entitled to vacation pay. So, no, it's not normal. If a person has accrued vacation pay and they say I want to take it now, and the employer's laid them off, the employer has no right to not let them have their vacation pay.
This person probably would be a good candidate to sit down with a lawyer and kind of see where they're at.
Well, my guess is the amount of vacation pay they're entitled to wouldn't be justify the cost of legal expenses to claim it. They might, if the vacation pay is only within the amount of the employment standards minimum, they can go to an employment standards branch and pursue it for free. But if, for example, if they're entitled to 2 weeks on the Employment Standards Act vacation a year, but their deal with a company gives them 4 weeks a year, then employment standards can't help them.
Okay, good to know. Hope that helps. That text or any more questions, you can text in or call in 519-792-2559. This person writes, with pandemic, we have less staff working. Now my company is making us take our breaks before our shift. So I have to go in 30 minutes early, clock in, clock out on break, and return in 30 minutes. Is this legal?
No, everyone is entitled. Well, Glenn, let me say it depends. Maybe they get a second break. I don't know. But everyone is entitled to a break after 5 hours at a maximum. You can't start the break before work even starts, because that's not a break at all. So right. I'm not sure what this company's doing. It seems a little bizarre. I hope the person's being paid from the time they clock in. That would be a legal requirement. So if they're not being paid, they'd have a legal right to be paid. But short of that, you're entitled to a break of 30 minutes within, and you're entitled to be paid for that. Sorry, you're not entitled to be paid for that break after 5 hours of work, the latest. So it could be 2 hours, it could be 3 hours, it could be 5 hours. But after every 5 hours of uninterrupted work, you have to have another break.
Okay, that would be good to know. That is really odd to take your break before you start working. Kind of negates the whole point of having a break.
Not really a break.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Very weird.
No.
This person writes, I work for a company that provides sick days. I, however, don't qualify because I'm a casual contract. Have been working straight full-time hours for a few years now. Do I qualify for the government COVID sick days? Not planning on using them, just for peace of mind.
Well, I must say I haven't read the legislation yet specifically to see whether casual employees apply, so I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately. It's brand new legislation.
Okay, good to know for that person. If you want to, the person can call in if they have more questions on that. This person writes here.
I'm going to look at it tonight, though, for my post column this Saturday as I plan it now, so I will know it by tomorrow, but I don't know it today.
Oh, excellent. Great. Yeah, we love your column in the Financial Post, too, every week. It's fantastic. This person writes, My work never had a clear policy on substance use. They are now implementing drug testing. My boss is adamantly anti-cannabis. I am a nightly user, never gone into work stoned. How I see it, it's no different than having a drink or two each evening. I'm not breaking any laws. If I'm tested and they detect cannabis, I'm a machine shop operator. Can they reprimand me or fire me or tell me to stop? I've been here 13 years, clean record, never an issue with anyone here, but my boss and I have bumped heads on the pot issue. So they're implementing drug testing all of a sudden.
Well, I would be very surprised if the drug testing would survive a legal challenge. The person's not an airplane pilot. They're not a, unless there's history of drug use in that facility that's caused fatalities or injuries, the law is very much against drug testing in the workplace, unless there's a real need, a provable need based on what's happened in the past. So let's start with that. They're probably not allowed legally to even have drug testing. Let's assume they have drug testing. If they're person detects intoxicants in their system and are working on moving machinery, I think the employee would have a problem.
Right. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Do you think they'd be in deep trouble if they were caught with, you know, just like TTC drivers would have had drug testing? They're caught with intoxicants in their system. It's contrary to company policy. And same with anybody who's dealing with things like moving machinery, as this person is.
Something too like this, I mean, and this is going to be a new policy they're putting in place. We probably need more information from the employee here who's writing in. But in a case like this, if, you know, he said he's been there for 13 years and substance use was never an issue before. He has no record of abusing substances while on the clock. Can they spring this onto you? Can he say, hey,
I know that. Look, he says he doesn't.
He says that, right? Yeah.
Right. We don't know if he does or he doesn't. Why are they butting heads with his manager about it? I don't know. I mean, there seems to be other parts of the story that are not coming out of the text. You know, I'm just hearing that. And why are they introducing a drug testing policy when most companies know that it's against the law unless there's a problem in the workplace, which makes it legal? There seems to be other aspects of the story, but we know he's a machine operator, so we know, like an airline pilot, you're in a dangerous position where you can't be intoxicated.
Right. Absolutely. Does that happen a lot where someone's telling you their side and you kind of raise an eyebrow? And when you call them on something like that, are they always willing to bring that forward? Like, okay, there was a time I came in stoned to work. Does that happen often?
Often. Because you get a pretty good crap detector after 42 years of doing this.
That's a Levittism right there. I love it. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll come back. If you have a phone call for Howard, an employment question, 519-792-2559. Your employment questions answered with Canada's top employment lawyer. Howard Levitt continues next. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show. Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. We're on the phone with Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt. If you have a call, a question about your employment situation, employer or employee, give us a ring, 519-792-2559. If not, I got a lot of texts here that I can get to. This person writes, this was an email that I got yesterday, actually, and they included as much information as they could, so I'll try to limit it down here. This person writes, can my rate as a contractor be reduced in the middle of the contract? And then the background they give, I signed an employment contract with this company last July, runs until July 2021. Yesterday, out of the blue, I got a DocuSign from the company with a retroactive lower rate than what I signed for last July. I asked for an explanation, and they actually posted their explanation below. What they heard from the company. The company just wrote, "Hi, hope all is well. Back in October 2020, our company implemented a new tool for hiring and sourcing called Beeline. During this time, they reduced all the rates drastically on our end. We, up until now, have been absorbing the burden of the rate reduction. With that being said, we are no longer in the position to fully absorb the decrease and need to pass on some of the reduction to you. I know this is not the best of news, but it takes effect from April 11th payroll moving forward." They want to know if they can proceed legally on this.
Well, it's a totally illegal. It's a constructive dismissal. You can't reduce people's salary. Doesn't matter what the explanation is, period. Person has a certain salary, you can't reduce it. That's what the law is.
So this person should absolutely not accept that and say, no, you're paying me what the contract says.
Exactly. That's what the contract means. If the company wants to increase the salary, that's one thing. And of course, the employee would be ecstatic. But the company doesn't have the right to reduce the salary any more than the employee has the right to say, I'm not going to keep working unless you give me a salary. Well, they can say that, but they've just said that into unemployment. They have no right to increase their salary. The employer has no right to reduce the salary.
Okay, that is good. So that person, how would you advise them to respond even? It sounds like they haven't responded yet. They're just saying, where do I go from here? So they have this letter.
I accepted the job on the basis of this salary. I done my financial planning on the basis of this salary. Unfortunately, I'm not in a financial position to accept this salary reduction, period. That's what I'd say.
Okay, and then go from there. Here's one. Can a company have different starting salaries based on age? This person writes, my daughter was told the reason she makes less than a new hire, having worked at her job for 3 years, is because she was hired as a high school junior and the new hire was a college freshman, and college students automatically start at a higher wage. She was then reprimanded for discussing salary with other employees and told that compensations must remain completely confidential.
Well, there's a little bit of a difference. I understand how someone would be paid more if they have a university education than a high school education. And that would be the way to posit it. She's calling it age. I'm calling it education. If you could pay more based on education, you can't pay more based on age, because that's age discrimination. Subtle difference, but a significant one legally.
Right. And the way they worded it, according to her email here, it says they hired her as a high school and then the other person was hired as a college student, and they didn't say age, they referenced education.
She said age in the initial text, but it's really not age, it's educational attainment.
Right, okay,
and
yeah.
They tend to coincide. I think that's actually, a high school education, but 10 years after high school, your age is older, but you still don't have a college education. So if they do it based on educational attainment, that makes sense.
Right. One more for you here, Howard, just came in actually. This person writes, I have been hired as part-time, but have been asked to work 40 hours a week for 2 years without any benefits. Is this legal? Is there ever an obligation, like, hey, you've been working full-time, you have to give them full-time?
Well, those are slightly different questions, but if you're hired part-time and you've got a part-time deal, let's assume you work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you've set your life around that, the employer can't come to you and say you're now working Monday to Friday. If you have a deal, you work 20 hours a week, they can't suddenly make you work 40 hours a week. Now, this employee seems to have developed into a situation where they are working 40 hours a week. They accept it. They did not quit and say, this is a constructive dismissal, or refuse to do it. So now they're working 40 hours a week. Other employees who are called full-time are getting benefits. They're not getting benefits. There is nothing illegal in that. A company does not have to pay benefits to anybody, even regular employees. Right. Benefits are something that parties negotiate, employees and employers, and you can have one set of employees who get benefits, another set of employees, both full-time, but don't get benefits. Again, as long as it's not done based on race, creed, color, or something like that, a human rights violation. Right. But employers, for example, could say, oh, new employees, we find benefits too expensive, so for new employees, we're not going to offer benefits anymore. Nothing illegal in that.
Okay, good to know. Howard, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you every Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer. Visit him online, levittllp.com. More conversation next. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show.